Thanks for listening to Open Caller on Anchor. Welcome to Open Caller. I am Corey. There is no Vishel. Vishel is out of town this week, so as a result, we are going to dive right back into our archives and play an old episode from 2012. 2012, a time when we were able to do whatever the fuck we want and had no consequences of getting a deadly contagion. This one is a review of Men in Black 3. Good movie that was. Not so much. So listen to that, and we should have a new installment of the show relatively soon. But in the meantime, listen to us babble like I am right now with this intro. Enjoy!
Back in time.
Hey, listeners, this is a new type of podcast. This is where we review, in this instance, a movie. BNC review, Men in Black 3, or as the poster leads you to believe, MIB cubed. Okay, so I'm here with Vishel, as always.
I am here.
Hey, there you are. So, yeah, MIB cubed.
Or 3.
Men in Black 3. The suits, they are aback.
And this time, they are going back. In time.
In time, time, time. So we just got back from seeing the movie.
And I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was very good. Well, not very good. I thought it was pretty good.
So it's been 10 years since MIB Dos, or MIB 2, the streets. And Agent J and Agent K, or JK, but I'm not kidding.
Well,
Raffle are back to business, busting up some alien scum. And you said it was pretty good, eh?
I thought it was. You?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Definitely an improvement over Men in Black 2.
Right.
Which I really don't remember much of.
I also don't remember it. I don't think it was very good. And I think Men in Black 1 was the best one of all three.
Yeah.
I would say.
Definitely not one of those trilogies where the sequel is the strongest.
No. Not like Spider-Man.
Yes. So Men in Black in 1997.
And then 2002... For 2012, and let's hope that there is
no more,
no more, no mas. And I highly doubt it will be the way everything left off in this movie.
Yeah, I remember reading after it came out that they said that this one kind of plays on, well, sure, it's a sequel, but also opens a door for. Like a reboot? I didn't see anywhere that was possible.
Yeah. I didn't see that at all. No open doors for that.
Alright, so let's take a look at the plot here. So, it's 2012. Though I don't really. Yeah. Is it really. Is the year mentioned in the movie?
Yes, it is, because.
Okay. I don't remember that. I know the 1969.
The movie, Agent Zed has died.
And spoilers.
The dates on his little memorial say 19XX to 2012.
Oh, right. I did not remember that part.
So, yes. So, we are actually in 2012 in this movie. And the world is different than it is in our 2012.
A little bit.
But, so basically, the first part of the story is Will Smith's character, Agent J, and Tommy Lee Jones's character, Agent K. And Agent J is just trying to figure out why K is just so surly and unemotional all the time. Just no smiles on his faces, always.
Very rarely do you get the opportunity to say surly.
It's true, and I took it. But yeah, so, you know, it starts off with them talking about how K has to, you know, have this eulogy for Agent Zed, and how Agent J just can't figure out how he's going to do it while being so unemotional all the time. And K's just like, don't worry, I got this.
I got this.
And it turns out to be a terrible eulogy. In every sense of the word, yeah. It's about 3 seconds long, and he just doesn't say much at all.
It's almost like your ideal wedding speech.
Yes. and then one of the main themes comes out in that whole... I don't really know what to call it, but one of the main things is a lot of people say it. I think it gets said about 3 or 4 times in the whole movie, and it's, don't ask questions you don't want to know the answers to. And it's basically...
Yeah, that's your basic theme throughout the movie.
Throughout the whole movie, yeah. And so, you know, it's basically Agent J asking about Agent K's past, which is somewhat related to his past, which we find out later. And, I mean, it just comes down, you know, he just keeps on saying over and over, don't ask questions you don't want to know the answer to. And we'll discuss what that means a bit later on.
Yeah, and which is funny, given the premise of the first movie, is you have two characters and the line of business they are in is essentially eliminate everything about you, because you're brought down to just a single letter. You don't exist. The government doesn't recognize you as a person or your business as actually existing yet. Here we are in the third movie, we have to delve into somebody's past when they're not supposed to have one.
Exactly.
So, going congruently with J trying to find out what's going on with K, we have this alien baddie who wants to take his revenge on K.
Right.
Radio Ray.
Radio Ray. And who plays Mr. Boris? Jermaine Clement.
Jermaine Clement. One half of the Flight of the Conchords, if you know the Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, nice. So he plays Boris the Animal, and he has been imprisoned on the moon for 40-ish years. 43 years, to be exact. We find out eventually that in 1969, Boris was one of the... I forget what planet or what species he's from.
He's not of this world.
He is not of this world. But his species of alien life form, Alf, if you will.
Hey! 80s callback.
Awesome. But his alien planet species goes to other planets and basically invades and destroys them. And so his ultimate goal in 1969 was to take over planet Earth with the help of his species. And we find out that in 1969, on July 16th, Agent K shoots off Boris's arm, and instead of actually killing him, does the more noble thing of just arresting him. And while we get up, you know, 1969, the Americans made their way to the moon. And I guess while they're up there, they also decide to make a prison or a holding area for...
Which was probably on the dark side of the moon.
Right. But it wasn't, because it was represent the flag.
Oh, yes.
So it wasn't.
No Transformers in that part.
Nope.
But you ever notice that when you have a lot of these movies that are not like the strict, serious movies that go back in time, it's always 1969?
Yeah. Austin Powers did that. But Austin Powers, I mean, it had to be 1969. And then this one was only 1969 because of the moon thing.
Yeah, the moon landing.
But yeah, it's true. The non-serious ones, it's just a good year, really. It was a good year for everyone. But yeah, so it starts off with Boris escaping from this lunar prison, coming back to Earth, and his whole premise is to go back in time to 1969 and kill Agent K, so that his plan of this whole Earth-destroying stuff can come to fruition, which is when the real story in Men in Black begins.
Dun dun dun.
And we wake up one morning and Agent J walks into work. And Agent K is nowhere to be found. Nobody really knows about him or talks about him. And we find out that he's been dead for 40 years.
He's going to be a millionaire.
Agent J is just beyond baffled because, you know, he just talked to K last night and everything, you know, they got into a bit of a tiff, but they're partners, it was going to be all right. Gets into work the next day, K's been dead for 40 years. And so now he realizes that he must also go back in time and, well, A, stop K from dying, or stop Boris from killing K. And then B, make sure that everything happens the way it should, so that nothing else changes in the future. The whole butterfly effect / back to the future effect.
See, that's the one thing I don't like about the whole back in time movies. If he went back in time and fixed the problem, none of that would have happened.
None of what would have happened?
Like, was able to go back in time and win $1 million, we would not be sitting here having this conversation.
Right. But, I think...
The whole purpose of the movie would have been out there.
Well, no, because I think it's... I agree with you. The whole time-traveling, back-in-time situation stuff...
Oh, go ahead.
Well, like, I was just going to say, the way I figure it would work is, the way I think they're explaining it in this movie, and it's kind of like how they explain it in the third Harry Potter movie, it's that, so the whole don't ask questions you don't want to know the answer to is because Agent K knows that he met Will back in time, right? He's already gone through that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that's why in the end, you know, when in Men in Black 1, when K finally picks Will Smith to be an agent, he already knows who this guy is because he's met him in the past and he knows what's going to happen in the future. You know, that's why he is as unemotional as he is, because he knows what's going to be happening at this point in time. He knows that, you know, in 2012 area, someone comes back in time, explains the whole situation, and everything works out as it should. You know what I mean?
Did you, you said you rewatched the first one, right?
I didn't. I was going to and I didn't.
Okay. When you do, there is a point, which I, after the movie, I put the two and two together. I know, I got four.
You put your hands together.
Exactly. There is a point where Jay asks Kay if he ever used the little flashy thing on him before.
Yeah.
Which, now has a different meaning versus the first one, because he did it at the one point after seeing like the other alien on the news running after him.
Right.
But now it could be when he makes that comment ever using before, it has to do with the ending.
Exactly.
See, it all comes back around.
Yeah.
And like, well, all I was going to say was, if you look at other movies like Terminator and Star Trek, Star Trek wouldn't, like, you go back in time, you create alternate timelines.
Right.
Where anything can happen.
And I think the way they did it was okay in this one. I think the way they did it in the third Harry Potter movie was the best sort of implementation of it.
Outside of Terminator?
But even then...
Well, even Terminator, too.
Well,
if John Cutter doesn't send Kyle Reese back in time to do his mother, John Cutter's never born.
Exactly. So, like, all that stuff. But, like,
in
Harry Potter, what... Like, the good part about it is some stuff that happens... So, have you seen it? You're not really into Harry Potter, right?
I have seen exactly zero Harry Potters.
So, what happens in the third one is basically... about halfway through the book, or three quarters of the way through the book, you know, basically it's the end of the book as it should be.
Or is it?
And then they go back 3 hours, and that 3 hours is replayed again. And what happens in those 3 hours has already happened before. So there's a part in it where, someone throws a rock through a window and hits Harry or whatever, hits someone, and that signals them to leave the hut that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
But, so in the first part, you know, that happens, and nobody knows who threw the rock or whatever, but then once they go back in time, and now we're in the 3 hours behind time, you know, you see that Hermione and Harry are, you know, hiding in the forest, and they're like, Why aren't we leaving the hut yet, or whatever? And so Hermione takes a rock and throws it to signal them. So it's kind of like, it's already happened 3 hours ago, but it's happening now at the same time. I don't know if I'm really explaining it well.
No, I gotcha.
Right.
I was so listening to that.
and then eventually later on, Harry... casts a spell that, you know, gets rid of all the bad guys or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But in the 3 hours before, we don't know what happened. Someone has cast a spell, and Harry thinks that it's hit, like, a reincarnation of his father that had done it. But in the end, he's standing there waiting to see who actually cast the spell, and nobody comes, nobody's there, whatever. And then he's like, okay, fine, I guess I have to do it. He goes and does it and realizes that... you know, 3 hours before, he actually saw himself casting the spell that did everything. Everything works out in the end. And I think it's the same sort of situation here, is where Agent J doesn't know any of the back in time stuff because he got...
his memory erased.
He got neuralized. But until the point where he goes, where both of them come back to 2012, that's when he does have the memory of all of that.
Yeah, because he left...
before that, he doesn't have the memory.
Yeah, he left from in 2012, went to 69, and then came back the second he left.
Right.
So therefore, past him's already gone to the past. Like, it's earlier...
Yeah.
Version 1.0... in 2012, went to 1969. It's like when Marty McFly, you know, takes off, but it comes back just as, you know, after he already left. And the first Back to the Future, like, you know, he comes back earlier and then sees himself going back to 1955.
Right. So, I mean, that's. I think they did a pretty good job of it. If it's the way that, you know, if that is why. Agent K is constantly saying, don't ask questions you don't know the answer to, because he already knows that Jay has gone back in time to save his life and all this stuff, and Jay has yet to figure that out. So I thought that was a pretty good way of doing the Back in Time. But
yeah, it's a lot better than Superman, where he spins the world back.
That's
spin the Earth in reverse, it goes back in time.
Yeah,
and that's how you save Lois.
Spoilers to people who haven't seen that movie. But it's from the 70s, so you probably saw
it. If you haven't seen that movie, I don't know.
Have you seen the original intended cut of Superman 2?
No.
Yeah, bye. So I had nowhere to go with that. I was just asking questions.
Okay.
I always want to see it. I hear it's so much better than the other one. Like the original.
Whatever. We'll find it. Continuing on with the...
Men in Black 3.
Men in Black 3 story. So now Agent J has gone back in time and meets Agent K for the first time. And is actually warned not to talk to K, right? Is that right?
Yeah, because in most movies where you have to do with, you know, time, the space-time continuum, you're not, like Doc Brown says, not to interact with your future or past self.
Right.
Because that just messes everything up.
With it, yeah. In this case, it does make sense. But as much as Jay tries to avoid it, K finds him and asks him, you know, what's going on, what he's doing with all of these. He has a neuralizer, a space gun, and his time-traveling device.
And how do you know my name?
And, yes, and how he knows his name.
It's one letter.
And, it's, you know, first Jay tries to, like, get away real quick, because he doesn't want to interact with Kay. In the end, ends up telling Kay that he's from the future, he's here to save his life, blah, blah, blah. And that is the story that Kay finally ends up believing.
Yeah.
And then they go, they do their thing. Basically, they go do their thing, they find the bad guy, and with the help of a fortune, not so much a fortune teller. How would you describe Griffin?
He's, like an oracle, I guess?
Yeah, kind of.
If you look at, 300 and The Matrix and Matrix. Minority Report, I guess they're all kind of oracles. They're the knowing all, seeing all.
So Griffin, he has the power to see different, like, alternate
timelines,
dimensions and timelines. So he sees all of the different timelines that could happen. And his
If you're in a scenario, you think there's A and B. Well, he will see A, B, all the way through Z.
Right, and so he knows everything that's going on at all times, basically. And his whole thing in the whole movie is just basically saying, "Oh, well, I hope it's this timeline that happens, and I hope it's this timeline, and I hope it's not this one," because he sees all of them, and he's pretty much just hoping for the best. So with his help, they find out what is happening, what's supposed to happen, and he actually gives Kay
It's the shield.
The shield, yeah. So he gives Kay the shield that he needs to activate to keep the alien species from getting to Earth, and he has to deploy it into space, which is where the space launch comes into play. So they have to make it down. They have to go to Florida and get to the space shuttle before it launches. Get the shield onto the topmost part of it.
Otherwise, it never would have worked. To me, that kind of seemed sort of redundant, because one, if you know anything about the space travel on the rockets, is that they shed all those pieces once they reach orbit. So what would it matter if it was at the top?
Right.
Just saying. Maybe it was just for a dramatic effect.
I think so.
I would just throw it at the bottom, like, "Hey, we're done." But instead, they have to climb all the way to the top.
So they have to get there, and the whole time, they're fighting with Boris, and in the end, obviously, everyone comes out a winner, except for Boris.
Boris.
Yeah, and so everything happens as it should, where Kay doesn't die. This time around... Oh! Okay, I don't understand this now.
Had an epiphany?
We'll come back to my thought. So remind me to go back to my thought.
So okay, we'll circle back.
In original 1969,
yes.
Kay blows off Boris's arm,
yes.
And then arrests him, and he is in Lunar Prison.
Lunar Prison.
Or whatever it's called, Lunar Correct. Max or whatever. Then Boris escapes.
Yes.
Back to Earth, back in time to 1969. Mm-hmm. And then this time, Kay kills Boris.
Right.
Yes?
Yes. Right.
So,
in alternate 1969, yeah.
In alternate 1969, Boris is dead. So then how does all of this stuff happen in 2012?
Exactly.
I understand. that's the one thing that the time travel stuff doesn't make sense. Everything else did seem to get wrapped up pretty nicely and make sense with the time travel.
But I wonder because I was just going to say, because Boris travels back on the 16th, Jay goes on the 15th. So I'm wondering, because he went earlier, that would affect that timeline. Because, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
And technically, if he should never have died then. Like, Kay would have never died then. If he went
Kay
back in time.
Kay didn't die.
Huh?
Kay didn't die.
No, but in the alternate 1969, when Boris goes back.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
He's dead.
Well, that's...
But if he's dead in 1969, he couldn't go back.
Yeah. So, that is the one thing that really doesn't make sense. Well, I mean...
It's like when old Biff goes back in time, gives younger Biff the sports almanac.
Yeah.
Then Marty travels back, and everything's all changed.
Right. But it needs to get changed back. Anyway, so yeah, that's something that doesn't really make sense.
Time travel never makes sense.
No, I know, but I thought I had a pretty good explanation before, and then it just didn't work out. So then in the end, Kay's not dead, Boris gets obliterated, and we find out the real story behind Agent J and his father. Who ends up getting killed by Boris. We find out later it's his dad, but it's a pretty predictable ending in that sense.
Yeah.
And then young James,
I like your alternative idea of who Jay's father was. I think that was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. we won't go into that. I thought it was a pretty
good... It's illegal in some states.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good, though.
They did that on Futurama, right?
Yes, they did.
His own grandpa?
Yeah. Or no, or was he... Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Jay, or young James, who is, you know, maybe like 5-ish, I don't know, very young, Kay, or 1969 Kay, sees him and gives him the old flash of the neuralizer and says, you know, your dad was a hero, and pretty much at that point we realize that Kay is going to be taking on the father role for young James, and looks out, you know, we can only assume that he looks out for him until the time comes in Men in Black 1 when they meet Men in Black 1,
he doesn't know who the hell he is.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe he just fathers him for a bit, gets him home, and then that's the last see of him.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe he neuralizes him again.
Yeah, exactly.
He just loves using that damn neuralizer.
I know. So yeah, I thought it wrapped up pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
And like we talked about before, like, wrapped up the trilogy well and really have no idea how they would do a reboot. So I don't know what...
Well, it's Sony. They'll probably just wait a couple of years and start over again.
Yeah, that's true, too.
And there's some surprise cameos of actors. Not major stars, to say the least.
No.
But nice little additions to throw here and there to break up the just two actors on the screen at all times.
Yeah, that's true. So
in a young... very, very important role for Nicole Scherzinger.
The 30 seconds that she got on screen.
Yeah, and 30 seconds of barely in their chest.
Yeah, that's like, true.
Jeez, it's a kids movie, people. Come on!
So, young Agent K, so 1969 Agent K, was played by Josh Brolin. I thought he did a really good job of doing...
And he looks insanely so much like Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes, and I thought the expression on his face, the...
lack thereof.
The lack thereof, all that stuff. I thought he did a really, really good job of being 29-year-old Agent K.
29-year-old looked like he's 42.
Yeah. And then there was... Who else was in there?
Emma Thompson as Agent O.
That's right.
Alice Eve as young Agent O, but no people... Not many people would know who Alice Eve is.
No.
And the other ones you mentioned.
I'm trying to think. Who... Oh, the guy from Arrested Development.
Yeah, that's one of the cameos. Will Arnett.
Will Arnett. He was Agent Double A, which I thought they were going to actually do something more with, but he was really only in there for...
45 seconds?
Yeah, if that. I really thought they were gonna... I was hoping that he wasn't going to be, like, going back in time with, you know, get put on this project or whatever.
And they get shot and killed and avenge Double A.
But... Yeah, he was not necessary whatsoever.
And this is, from what I hear, Will Smith's first movie in almost 4 years.
Really?
The last movie was 7 Pounds.
I never saw that.
Neither did I. It's one of the, I heard it's one of those hit and miss movies. Some people liked it, some people didn't.
And then before that, he had a pretty good run of movies before that.
Yeah, Pursuit of Happiness, I Am Legend.
Hancock.
Which
wasn't amazing, but it was okay. I liked Hitch, too. That was...
Yeah. Like, well, Hancock, for me, was great beginning, decent middle, and then just went off the rails towards the
end. Yeah, it was just one of the terrible endings.
It's just like they wrote the movie, and then, like, how do we end this?
Yeah, we'll just... whatever.
And he's got people's got money. They sat there for half the
He's
movie.
Got a lot of sequels coming up, eh? Hancock 2, Bad Boys 3, and I, Robot 2.
Well, they've been saying those movies for years. The one that's
on IMDb, it all says announced.
Yeah, well, the one for sure that they're working on is supposed to be a sequel to I Am Legend. Wrap your head around that.
Yeah, which doesn't really make sense.
Well, the original ending, he didn't die.
Right.
But they released the movie to 6 billion people and show him dying. So I don't know.
The alternate ending, yeah. Well.
Oh, well. But he's still a box office draw. Like, the movie opened to 54 million, which is on par with the other two. The second one was 52 and the first one was 51.
It's pretty good.
Mind you.
And I think that it's...
attendance is down given inflation, but... And it's already made 400 million worldwide.
I think that it's... It's more so the... I mean, Will Smith's... I think he's a pretty good actor. Like, I've seen... In most of the movies that he's in, I find he does a really good job.
Yeah.
And especially with the Men in Black series, like, I don't know very many people that didn't like the first one.
Right.
Like, I'm sure there were a few that didn't like it. And I honestly, I just can't remember Men in Black 2 at all, whether people liked it or not.
No, the only thing I know is Laura Flynn Boyle's in it. and yeah. most people don't even know who she is.
So I think people were excited for Men in Black 3 just because it had been a long time since, you know, it's been out, and even with the whole going back in time thing, which for me it would usually be a movie turnoff, the way yeah. that most movies have been doing it, like, lately. I mean, obviously not with Back to the Future, stuff like that.
Told him the title.
Yeah. But, you know, even I was a bit skeptical about this one, but I wanted to see it because I like the Men in Black. I like Men in Black 1, I like Will Smith, and Tommy Lee Jones is always... he's a solid actor, and he doesn't have that many bad movies. So it couldn't have been terrible. And then I also read pretty good reviews about it, so that helped.
Yeah, but it was kind of scary for some, because I remember there was a lot of production problems with it. Like, they stopped filming, like, when they were midway through, because they had script issues. No one liked where, like, the direction it was going, so they held production while they rewrote the script.
Oh, boy.
Which, for any movie, is, like, just means it's like a...
kiss of death, almost.
Exactly. Like, just look at Transformers 2.
Yeah. God.
So, yeah, that was one thing. But then, yeah, you hear the reviews.
Is that what happened with Spider-Man 3?
No, that's...
No, that just sucked.
Yeah, that was way too much studio involvement there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you hear that, you assume it's just going to be, like, piece of crap. And then, yeah, reviews
come... Or at least it would have had, like, a good first half and then, you know, just mailing it in for the end or something.
Yeah, exactly. But when you read some of the reviews I read, they were saying that was the strongest part of the movie was the third act.
Yeah, I thought the movie got better as it went on.
Yeah, and then, like, it's an hour and 47 minutes, but it sure doesn't feel like it's an hour and 47 minutes.
Exactly. That's what I really liked about it. Because there's some movies out there that are, you know, not even 2 hours long, but it feels like you're at the theater for, you know, 3 hours. And while I thought there were some slow parts in the movie, they're, you know, they were quickly equalized by some, like, some humor or some sort of action or something major happening continue the story along.
And this thing's definitely not, like, it's not a laugh-out-loud riot.
No. There were some funny parts.
Yeah, there is humor to be found in it, for sure. And, like I said, yeah, if we talk about pacing purposes, this thing definitely is a smoother ride than, like, the Avengers. Avengers, while it's a fantastic movie, there was definitely a lot more slow parts than that.
Yeah,
than there were in this.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't need to spend 2 minutes of watching the helicarrier rise out of the freaking ocean in the Avengers.
Well, I did, but I understand. I understand.
I was like, hey, yo, could you run that part? I need to see that again. But, you know, yeah, definitely solid look.
I agree.
Definitely recommend.
We're at 36 minutes now, so let's just go into... We'll do a quick... rating out of 5, let's say, or 10? 5? We'll go out of 5.
The stars. Those aren't stars.
So we'll do our quick rating and,
like,
very quick review.
Three, you're out of stars, and then a positive and a negative.
Right.
Okay.
You go ahead.
Bastard.
Yeah, I know.
I'd say 3.5 out of 5. Positive note, it's a solid, like, good pacing, good humor, good story. I like the addition of, like, even though it was subtle, I do like, in no way, something that you should, find humorous, but the minor little touches of, 60s racism.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it definitely wasn't over the top like some movies do, but, was still nice and funny, because it's true. That's what went on in that time. Negatives? I would just say is a little too small of a cast, and we could have at least had a bit more, maybe just a couple more side characters, just to, broaden the story just a little bit. Just, right. You know, because you have a couple scenes where there's a cast, and then it's just... J&K, and then another minor one. But the ones with additional cast just seemed a little short to me. That's the only gripe I have with it.
Right.
So, yeah, 3.5 out of 5.
I'm also going to give it a 3.5 out of 5. I thought it was a good movie, and I would definitely recommend it. It's not a movie that I would go see again, but it's definitely a movie I think people should see once.
Yeah.
Versus something like The Avengers, I think I could see Avengers a few more times and still enjoy...
I have already watched it again.
Right, and still enjoy the hell out of it. But definitely worth seeing at least once. The positives, I think, I thought the story got better as it went along, which is, I find it's hard to do, and most movies, that's not the case. There's usually a lull in the middle, and in this case, I thought the lull was right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then the story moved forward constantly throughout, and I thought that was great. As for... I mean, I guess I don't really have too many, like, dislikes about the movie. I mean, again, the whole time travel stuff is always a tough one to do well, because there's always going to be a question about it. But I thought, even then, I thought they did it well. And yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you that basically this is it's a two-character movie. They could have just added in... I mean, I don't think there was... Other than Emma Thompson, there really wasn't anyone that had more than, you know, 5 or 6 lines afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And even Emma Thompson had, like, 10. So, yeah, it's a two-character cast. Well, 3, if you count. Like, there was Agent J and Agent K. But basically, it was a J&K cast. And I think... the movie could have been a little bit better if they had a few more characters.
Yeah.
But yes, that is our first very long review.
Unintentional, very long review.
Unintentional, yeah.
I can only imagine what Prometheus review will be like.
Yeah. Half of it's just going to be us going, if you don't get that, it's because you don't follow me on Facebook, but that's okay. Not follow me, friend.
Well, you don't even have to. Like, just the commercial alone, right there.
Yeah. But yeah. So in the future, these reviews are going to be cut down a lot. So right now, we're at 40 minutes
for sure.
We're gonna try and top them off at 15 or 20 minutes, just because. Basically, you could either listen to us talk for 2 hours or go see the movie for 2 hours. And
what we should do next is like. It's like have our own commentary during the movie.
Yeah, we might get kicked out.
Probably.
But anyway, so that's our review for Men in Black 3. Is it called Back in Time or
no?
It's just called Men in Black 3. There's no subtitle.
Yeah, just Men.
Just Men in Black.
Yeah, Men in Black 3.
Right. So that's our review for Men in Black 3. I guess that's it.
That's all.
That's it. That's all. That's all, folks.
Listen here, Porky.
We hope you enjoy some audio from the Pitbull song from the movie, which we'll add to the end of this. Yes?
Sure.
And probably the beginning.
Probably.
Okay.
Okay.
So we will see you later, pals. Groovy, baby. Let's make a movie, baby. Time. Excuse me, baby. Let's. Yeah, you baby. No, you.